Now, each month we speak with Chris Danielson from the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. We find out what some of the big stories over there are when it comes to the everyday lives of blind and partially sighted people. And this is our first chat of 2018. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us again, Alan. Always a pleasure.
Now, we've got a couple of topics we're going to be discussing today, Chris. We're going to start, first of all, with some news on something which kind of goes beyond affecting or possibly affecting people with visual impairments. We're looking at assistance dogs.
One of the major carriers here in the United States, and which I believe also has international flights, Delta Airlines, has just announced a new policy with respect to what it calls service and support animals. And we're very concerned about this because while there are underlying legitimate reasons for Delta to be looking at its policies around this, we are concerned that it's putting too much of a burden on people who are using guide dogs. Blind people have been using guide dogs for decades, and we don't feel Delta's new policy really recognizes that. This has to do with all kinds of support animals, including emotional support animals. And Delta's stated concern, which we don't dispute necessarily, is that there are a lot of animals that are being considered emotional support animals now, and it's not that hard to get them certified as emotional support animals. And so there's a possibility that there is some abuse of the system in that people are actually bringing their pets on the plane because, of course, they want to avoid the pet cargo fees. There reportedly, we can't verify any of this, but there have been incidents of people bringing possums on planes, turkeys, ducks, pigs, you know, different animals that you normally don't think of as service animals. And we don't question the legitimacy of those necessarily, but it is true that that some people appear to be bringing their pets on planes. And that, of course, is the reason for Delta's policy. So some people would say, why are you blaming Delta for this when the problem is these other kind of animals? Well, the problem is that guide dogs are an established kind of service animal. It's well known how guide dogs are trained and how they're used. And Delta's new policy, for one thing, says that if you're going to fly on a Delta plane, you have to provide certain documentation about your service animal 48 hours in advance to a special help desk that they're going to set up. Now, that means that if you have any kind of emergency, any kind of need to fly on less than 48 hours notice, you're not going to be able to do that as a blind person using a guide dog anymore. Or even if you, say, need to switch from another airline to Delta during your travels because of, say, a cancellation of a flight from your other carrier. So it really limits the flexibility for blind people in a way that flexibility is not limited for other travelers. And we don't believe that Delta really needs 48 hours to review the documentation that it's asking for. It's asking for vaccination records, for example. Some blind people carry that kind of information with them, carry it on their phones in whatever manner they feel is appropriate. And this requirement seems to be onerous to us, and it seems like it could violate the Air Carrier Access Act, which is the law that we have here in the United States that protects access to airlines.
It is a bit of a tricky one, as you say, Chris, because you can see it from the point of Delta in the fact that they will allow assistance animals, but they have to be properly trained and recognised assistance animals. I think that's pretty understandable. As a passenger, you'd want that as well. But guide dogs or seeing eye dogs, you know, very, very well established, as you say, going back decades and decades now. They are easy to recognise. It should be extremely easy, I would have thought, for Delta to communicate with the training schools or so on to, verify that these are legitimate dogs. I think I've only actually been asked once to turn up at an airline, and I had to turn up 3 hours before my flight was due to take off to bring my dog's details with me. Now, bearing in mind my flight was at 6:30 in the morning, but I did what I was asked to do, and they never checked anything. So
that's kind of annoying.
That was a bit annoying, but you know, I can see why they'd want to do this. But 48 hours, that is a bit much, especially if it's a recognized assistance type of animal.
Well, and especially if you look at Delta's materials on this, if you look at their press release, there's no allegation that a guide dog in particular has ever been a problem. If anything, one of the things that Delta is saying they're trying to prevent, which we certainly agree with, is other animals actually attacking service animals or guide dogs. And that's certainly, again, a legitimate concern. And you know, the law does require Delta and other airlines to ask for certain documentation. But we are concerned about the 48-hour requirement.
Yeah.
Just seems a little bit, just doesn't seem necessary in light of what we know about guide dogs. We have asked for a meeting with Delta. Hopefully we can work out a solution that is acceptable to everyone so that we continue to have the same type of flexibility and access that we've had while still protecting everybody's interests in having a safe and disruption-free flight.
Yeah, I would have thought it could be easy if I'm booking a flight and there's something on the accessible website or the accessible app or the telephone line that I say, yeah, I'm traveling with my guide dog. Here's his guide dog registration details. And they could just contact the guide dog training school and verify them, and that's it. It shouldn't take 48 hours.
And why for each flight? If you have a guide dog and you travel with Delta regularly, you're a frequent flyer, say, why can they not just have that information in your frequent flyer record so that you only need to update it, for example, if and when you retire a guide dog or get a new one?
I think we're giving them a few ideas there, Chris.
Yeah.
let's hope there's a good outcome to this, Chris. Do keep us updated on that one. And our other story, some good news for the NFB president.
That's correct. Our president, on our behalf, of course, received on January 24th, an award from an initiative called Autos 2050. This is an initiative put together by the United States Auto Alliance, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers here in the United States, and the Alliance for Transportation Innovation. And what this essentially means is that the National Federation of the Blind is officially being recognized as a leader in talking about and trying to shape the future of self-driving or autonomous vehicle technology. And we're very gratified by that because it's, you know, again, it remains to be seen how this technology is going to pan out. But it is encouraging that the industry is recognizing the input that the National Federation of the Blind has given in terms of how these vehicles should be designed and the potential they have to really enhance the mobility and independence of blind people. So we're very excited about that. We also learned recently that General Motors here in the United States is the first company that we know of that is actually announcing that its new self-driving autonomous vehicle that it's developing now and that it hopes to deploy as early as 2019 will have accessibility features for blind people. We don't know the specifics of that and what that's exactly going to look like. So we're a little cautious, but it is good to hear that they have it under consideration and are actually planning to put it into the design.
Chris, we're almost out of time, but if people would like to get in touch with NFB or find out more about the organization, what's the best way to do that?
nfb.org. That's always a good place to get the latest information about what we're doing. Find us on Facebook as National Federation of the Blind. We're on Twitter at @NFB_voice, Instagram as well. And of course, there's good old email. You can just shoot us an email, nfb@nfb.org.
Chris, pleasure speaking with you as always. We'll catch up with you again next month. In the meantime, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks again for having us, Alan.